Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to Mount Logan Capital's second quarter 2020 results conference call. Before we begin, I would like to remind listeners that except for historical information, the matters discussed during this call may include forward-looking statements within the meaning of the applicable Canadian securities legislation. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties and other factors that may cause actual financial results, performance, or achievements to be materially different from estimated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by those forward-looking statements. All forward-looking statements reflect the company's current views with respect to future events and are subject to risks and uncertainties and assumptions we have made in drawing the conclusions included in such forward-looking statements. The company is not obligated to update or revise any forward-looking statements, and we do not assume any obligation to do so. For a description of the risks associated with Mount Logan Capital's business, as well as information about the material factors and assumptions that could cause results to differ from any forward-looking statements and other relevant factors, please refer to the company's public disclosure record, particularly the company's MD&A and annual information form for the year ended December 31st, 2019, which are available on SEDAR. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Mr. Ted Goldthorpe, Chief Executive Officer of Mount Logan Capital. Mr. Goldthorpe, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our second quarter 2020 results call. First and foremost, we hope all of our stakeholders and their families are healthy and safe. During the call, we'll be referring to information provided in the financial statements, the MD&A, and the associated news release for the quarter, all of which were released last Friday and are available on our website and on SEDAR. Joining this morning is our Chief Financial Officer, Ted Gilpin, and the rest of our executive team. Overall, we are pleased with this quarter's results, especially as market uncertainty has persisted. Before we speak to our financial results for the quarter, I will provide a brief overview of our portfolio positioning given the current market conditions before discussing our recently announced CIF transaction and equity capital raise. From a macro perspective, the second quarter was significantly more challenging as states and provinces enacted various levels of lockdowns that persisted for the bulk of the quarter. While the economy has begun opening back up and we feel like our portfolio companies have a much better grasp on demand and profitability levels, we continue to remain vigilant on our portfolio holdings amongst the uncertainty. As we discussed during our last earnings call, we expect our portfolio to remain resilient through any near-term economic turmoil. In terms of industry exposure, excluding Quine, our portfolio has no direct exposure to the COVID-affected sectors such as automotive, energy, metals and mining, hotel, casinos and leisure, advertising, restaurants, and cruise lines. Secondly, we've diversified our portfolio of investments spanning 19 borrowers. Excluding Quine, 80% of our portfolio is concentrated in first lien senior secured debt, which we've purposely focused on to be well-positioned when times of economic stress do arise. In addition to this, with 13% of our portfolio in the Great Lakes Unitranche joint venture, this exposure is underpinned by a portfolio of first lien senior secured unitranche loans diversified across 11 middle market borrowers in a variety of stable industries. Taken together, as of June 30th, 2020, approximately 94% of our portfolio is in first lien senior secured debt and in our joint venture underpinned by first lien debt. In terms of new investment activity over the course of the quarter, we opportunistically participated in the primary issuance of new deals that priced relatively wide amongst market turmoil, having successfully monetized many of these positions on a short-term basis or shortly after quarter end. For those who did not get a chance to join our annual shareholders meeting in late June, we are pleased with the active participation of our shareholders in supporting our board members and our broader business plan. Of note, we also discussed our recent transaction related to the Resource Credit Income Fund, or CIF, as I refer to it through these comments. On June 22nd, we announced that we entered into a definitive agreement alongside Sierra Crest Investment Management related to the change in manager for CIF, a $240 million quasi-permanent capital vehicle. This is a transformational step for Mount Logan as it greatly accelerates our transition into a scaled asset management platform. CIF is a closed-end interval fund that invests in credit assets that are highly complementary with Mount Logan's mandate, including direct lending, private credit, and public credit. CIF was previously managed by Resource Advisors, a U.S. asset management company that specializes in real estate and credit investments. Mount Logan will be funding the purchase of the management contract and receiving the economic benefits associated with the contract. We anticipate the transaction to close in the fourth quarter of 2020, following a vote by shareholders of CIF. We believe the transaction is highly accretive to Mount Logan for a number of reasons. First of all, this transaction is a first step in pursuing a transition from a capital-intensive, interest-income-driven model to a lower-volatility, asset-light, recurring management fee model. CIF's annual management fee of 1.85% of net asset value is underpinned by highly sticky retail capital and a strong track record of retention. This transaction opportunity rose to the extensive relationships of the Mount Logan management team across the industry and our renowned ability to swiftly execute in time-sensitive processes. This proprietary process dynamic led to a compelling valuation. We believe the potential value of the management contract for CIF in the public markets is significantly higher than the proposed purchase price. The management contract purchase price was an attractive mid-single-digit multiple of fee-related earnings, or FRE, versus the 18 times average FRE multiple for North American publicly traded alternative asset managers. To provide a brief overview of the fund, CIF is a $240 million continuously offered unlisted fund that was founded in 2015 under the leadership of Mike Twilliger, an experienced credit portfolio manager. Since inception, CIF has achieved a positive investment track record, which has excelled against its respective benchmarks, setting a strong foundation for further fundraising. In order to fully leverage CIF's successful track record and maintain its fundraising momentum while ensuring a seamless transition, key management members and vendor contracts are expected to be retained. The proposed transaction with CIF is a major step forward towards fulfilling our transition to a diversified credit manager. We view the transaction as a significant milestone towards the market describing value to the asset management fee streams associated with our business and thus transitioning to being valued similarly to our asset management peers as opposed to being valued on a price-to-book basis. Overall, we are very excited about our transaction with CIF as it embodies many of the characteristics we look for in a strategic transaction, including a proprietary process, compelling valuation, operational synergies, an established track record, downside protection, and significant upside potential. On the capital raise front, at the beginning of last week, we announced the filing of our short-form prospectus for an equity capital raise of up to $25 million Canadian dollars. Aided by Canaccord Genuity, ATB Capital Markets, and Stifel GMP, this is our first large capital raise initiative since our original going public transaction in October of 2018, and we are excited for existing and new shareholders to participate in Mount Logan and its next chapter of growth. We believe there is an extraordinary market opportunity right now, and raising capital to deploy in the near term has the potential to be transformative for Mount Logan over the next 6 to 12 months. Our story of a highly qualified management team, transition our business into an asset management platform, and the broader COVID-19-related market opportunity has resonated well in our marketing meetings we've had over the last week. Pricing will be determined in the context of market, and we expect to wrap up our equity raise over the next 2 to 3 weeks. With that, I'll turn the call over to Ted Gilpin, who will review the financial results for the quarter.
Thanks, Ted. Good morning, everyone. First off, I'd like to say we understand that we're having some intermittent phone issues where you may get some, silent periods, but if you stick with us, it comes back on, so we apologize for that. But I will now summarize our key highlights for the second quarter of 2020. As a reminder, our current to U.S. here as of January 1st, 2020. We believe this now better reflects our business activities and will result in a cleaner financial disclosure going forward. Finally, all figures I will reference today are in U.S. dollars unless specified otherwise. On to our results. For the second quarter ended June 30th, 2020, we generated $928,000 in total investment income, aligned with income generation levels from the prior year. Of note, while interest income remains our largest contributed revenue at $772,000 for the quarter, our investment in the Great Lakes Unitrans joint venture generated $156,000 in dividend income. On the expense side, professional fees related to legal, audit, and tax consulting amounted to $213,000 for the quarter. Other costs, including director's fees, regulatory and shareholder relations, and other general and administrative costs, totaled $316,000 for the first quarter. Our overall administrative costs and credit facility costs were elevated this quarter due to a number of non-recurring items that we expect to normalize and decrease later in the year. This has begun to play out as our aggregate interest and operating expenses are down approximately 11% quarter over quarter. We also had a net realized appreciation of approximately $69,000 and an unrealized appreciation of approximately $53,000 on our investment portfolio due to partial recovery of credit market conditions since the peak of uncertainty in March due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Our total and comprehensive loss was just about flat for the quarter at a negative $13,000 or $0 per weighted average share. As of June 30th, 2020, Mount Logan's balance sheet reflects total assets of $75.8 million, total liabilities of $44.2 million, and shareholders' equity of $31.6 million, resulting in a net asset value per share of $2.98. Our 8% decline in net asset value since December 31st, 2019 was predominantly driven by the unrealized appreciation on our investment portfolio. Our asset balance at quarter end primarily consisted of $62 million in our investment portfolio, $10.8 million balance in cash and restricted cash, and $2.9 million in deferred tax asset. With respect to liquidity and unfunded commitments, our aggregate unfunded commitments were approximately $2.7 million as of June 30, 2020. However, these remaining commitments are subject to certain restrictions, such as the use of proceeds and leverage that must be satisfied before a borrower can draw down on the commitment. Liabilities predominantly include our leverage facility with an outstanding balance of $34.4 million and the fair value of the Klein investment associated with the contingent value rights. As a reminder on Klein, this is an investment in equity and debt that remains from Merit Resource Corp prior to the plan of arrangement. In January 2020, Klein announced that they had entered into a binding agreement to sell their shares in the New Elk Coal Company to Allegiance Coal for a total consideration of approximately $55 million Canadian dollars, consisting of cash, debt, and equity in a transaction that is expected to close this year. On June 5, 2020, Merit announced that Klein had amended the binding agreement for the sale by Klein to Allegiance and all of the shares of NECC with respect to, among other things, the structure of the consideration payable by Allegiance and Merit. Subsequently announced the completion of the transaction is estimated to take place before the end of October 2020. As a reminder, the change of value in Klein does not directly affect Mount Logan. Rather, former Merit Resource Corp shareholders hold contingent value rights that entitle the holders to the net proceeds that are received from the sale of Klein or any distributions related to the investment. With that, I will now turn the call back to Ted Goldthorpe for some closing remarks.
Thank you, Ted. Overall, we are pleased with the results for the quarter and are excited by the near-term opportunity to scale our business with additional equity capital from our public offering. We have a strong pipeline of actionable asset management opportunities that have the potential to be highly accretive to Mount Logan. While market conditions continue to remain uncertain, we have conviction in the quality, security, and diversity of our underlying portfolio and believe we are very well positioned to take advantage of the current market environment. We will now transition the call to Q&A if the operator could please coordinate.
Thank you. As a reminder, that if you would like to ask a question on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure your line is unmuted locally and you will be advised when to ask your question. So star 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, we do have a question coming through from the line of Charles Burns, calling from CIBC, Wood Gundy. Charles, please go ahead.
Good morning. It looks like the company definitely is progressing. My question with the upcoming capital raise and given where the shares are trading, which is roughly 75% of net asset value. If the capital raise is done at current levels, will that not dilute the NAV down a bit? And I'm not quite sure. I can't remember how much you're intending to raise compared to the existing float in the company.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, that's a great question. I mean, we've obviously explored many different ways to grow our vehicle or grow the company. And you know, we've explored converts. We explored issuing various stock plus warrants deals. And I think where we can buy things today on a relative basis is so much lower than what it was 6 months ago pre-COVID. So even issuing equity at these levels, we think, if you back into the cost of equity, we still think it's a very, very good idea for us because of the types of earnings multiples we're thinking about buying things are 3 to 5 times earnings. So even though it's obviously we'd love to issue our stock price. We'd love to issue stock if it was a little bit higher. I think from our perspective, we're being able to buy stuff at really, really good valuations, and we think it's going to be accretive for shareholders over the longer term period of time. So, things that we're trading at 10 times earnings, we can now buy for 3 to 5. And so, on a relative basis, we think it's a good idea for our shareholders.
So again, I guess the question is, how much relative to the existing float? I can't recall how much you're trying to raise versus the number of shares outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, what we've announced is we're willing to raise up to $25 million Canadian of new equity.
But going forward, I guess you're raising capital in the future. Hopefully, we've done it at NAV or higher. Hopefully.
I mean, that would be the hope. I mean, we think about it also in terms of earnings, right? So you're creating the business today at around 7 times forward earnings, and we're able to buy things at 3 to 5 times earnings. And so because of that, again, from an earnings perspective, it's very accretive for us. And again, long-term, that obviously flows into book value.
Okay. And so the pricing and quantity will be announced in the next few weeks?
Yes. And we're hoping to wrap this up in the next week.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you. We currently have no further questions in the queue. So as another reminder, if you would like to ask a question on today's call, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, we've no further questions coming through, so I shall turn the call back across to yourself, Ted.
Thank you. Thank you for everyone's time this morning. As always, we are happy to make ourselves available for any questions in the future. We hope everyone stays safe, and we look forward to updating you via press releases in the near term and our next quarterly earnings release in November. Thanks again for your continued interest and support of Mount Logan Capital.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your handsets.